No doubt you've heard that Jesus is fully man, but also fully God. Now, if that leaves you scratching your head, you've tuned into the right program, because that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. We're currently in a series called Great Bible Doctrines. And right now we're thinking about what we call Christology. Specifically, how is it that Jesus could be full deity? Well, that's what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to help us understand in today's episode of Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We are going through the great doctrines of the Bible, and what we've said is that classical Christian Christology, that which is the study of Jesus, said that Jesus was one person with two natures. He was fully human, and he was fully divine. And in the last episode, I think we showed seven or eight different reasons for why Jesus is fully human. Can you just summarize why?
He was born in a normal fashion. He grew up in a normal fashion. He was hungry. He wept. He was grieved. He was angry. He experienced all of the pain in his beatings, in his mock trials, in his carrying the cross, in his crucifixion. He wept when Lazarus died. All of these things point to the fact that Jesus was perfect man, but fully man. He wasn't simply God who kind of looked like a person, but really wasn't a person. He really was a person.
Right. Was a human person.
And forever will be, by the way. We didn't get into that in the last show. Jesus' humanity didn't stop when he ascended to heaven. He's still in a physical body, and he will be human forever, even though he's also omnipresent in his spirit, which blows my mind. But in his physical body, he's going to be limited to one place at one time.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other side of the equation is, but is it also true that Jesus is fully God? What's the evidence for that?
Right.
You would want to know. We would want hard biblical proof for this idea that Jesus is God. But is there such evidence?
Right. Well, there's plenty of it, both in the words of Jesus and in the words of the apostles about Jesus.
So, for example, in his humanity, Jesus was born as a normal human baby. I don't know what year it was. I don't think we really know for sure.
People like 4 think BC. It was around 4 BC.
Yeah, 4 yeah. or 3 BC. But is that when Jesus began to exist?
Well, no, he's eternal. We know that from many texts. Of course, God is eternal, so therefore, if Jesus is God, and we know that from many texts, therefore Jesus is eternal. But even Jesus himself indicated his eternality in some things he said.
Right. For example, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. You know, that's before his incarnation. That's before him being born as a baby. So
right.
he was. That's a pre-existent Christ.
Right.
Or in John 8:57-58, when the Jews say to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus has this astounding answer. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He didn't say before Abraham was, I was, although he is implying his pre-existence. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Which has a double meaning here. It shows that he preexisted.
Right.
But it also shows he's using the divine name for himself.
Right. It also implies he's the one that met with Moses at the burning bush, because you remember Moses wanted to know, who do I say that you are?
Mm-hmm.
And say, I am, that I am. Many think, and I would agree, that that's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ meeting with Moses at the burning bush. And so when he says, before Abraham was, I am, this is a statement of eternality, of deity, and it's also a statement that he's the one that met with the great patriarch Moses.
Right. And a third aspect of that, I've heard theologians say this, that the I am also suggests his self-existence, that he's always existent. And he only depends upon himself for existence. He doesn't depend upon anything else.
Right.
You know, I am that I am. He doesn't come into being. He doesn't come out of being. He just is.
And, of course, that's true of the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. But right now we're talking about Jesus and what he himself said about himself.
Right. So his eternality, his preexistence, suggests that Jesus is divine. Another thing would be his powers. In his humanity, Jesus was a carpenter, and he got tired, and he got hungry, and he did all those things that are common to all of us. But in his divinity, there are also verses that say he had godlike powers. For example, in John, not godlike powers, he had the powers of God.
Right.
So John 1:1-3, it says, especially verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Or Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Now, we know that God creates all things.
Right.
So if Jesus creates all things,
yeah,
who
Jesus
is Jesus?
Is God.
He's
right.
God. I read somewhere that there's between 100 and 200 billion galaxies in the universe. Jesus created all that.
Right.
So what does that tell us about his powers?
They're pretty enormous.
He's omnipotent, right?
Well, of course, we see that in the creation. We see it in the universe. But the scriptures make it very clear there is no one that has any power over God or over the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sovereign. He is Lord over all. And in fact, there are other texts that tell us that Jesus is holding everything together by the word of his power.
That's right. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things and for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live.
Right.
Jesus is upholding all things. What do you call that? Omnipotence.
Right.
So that tells us his powers. Even though in his humanity Jesus got tired, in his divinity, he's upholding all things.
Right.
So that only God does that. Therefore, Jesus is God. Well, some other evidence of Jesus' deity are his titles. Jesus is called Jehovah, or the name of God is applied to himself.
There's a number of New Testament texts where the Old Testament uses the tetragrammaton, the YHWH, sometimes pronounced Jehovah or sometimes Yahweh. That in the New Testament is said to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of those is, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstools for your feet, in Psalm 110.
Mm-hmm.
I think both Lords there are Yahweh. It might be that the first is Yahweh and the second is Adonai, but in any case, both of them refer to deity.
That's right. So the Old Testament personal name for God is applied to Jesus. And it's only applied to Jesus because Jesus is God.
Right. If you look at the various uses of the word Lord in the New Testament that go back to citations from the Old Testament, many of those have Yahweh in the Old Testament. And so we can't say that Jesus was like Yahweh. Jesus is Yahweh.
Yeah, he's identified Yahweh.
Right.
Not only is the personal name for God applied to Jesus, but he's actually just straight up called God in several texts. So, for example, in Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah is prophesying about the coming Messiah, and it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor." Now listen to this. "Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The Messiah is going to be called Mighty God.
I can't hear the reading of this without hearing Handel's Messiah singing these words in such a powerful way.
Right, absolutely. So there Jesus is called God, the Messiah is called God. In other places, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Right.
He's straight up called God in John 1:1. And this is, by the way, a big theme in John. In John chapter 5, he develops this idea of Jesus' deity from the very first verse to the very end of the book. In John 5:18, we read, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Well, if Jesus is equal with God, something is only equal to itself, so that must mean that Jesus is God.
Same thing in John 10:33. "Again, you make yourself God." But see, this is what's distinct about the Christian faith. Buddha didn't say he was God, and he didn't call people to believe in him for everlasting life. Muhammad didn't say that he was God, and he didn't say, "If you believe in me, you have everlasting life."
Right.
Nor did any other of the world religions. But Jesus said that he was God, and he said that whoever believes in him has everlasting life.
Right.
He called for faith in himself.
That's right. And at the very near the end of John, it's kind of like a bookend. John 1:1 declares his divinity. Then near the end of the book in John 20:28, you have doubting Thomas, who didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, or he said he wouldn't believe it until he actually touched Jesus' wounds for himself. Well, Jesus appears to him, and he allows Thomas to touch these wounds,
right,
his hands in his side. And then I love what Thomas says here. "And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God."
This is a very climactic statement in John's gospel. John 20:28. It's one of the great defenses of the deity of Christ. Now, we find something similar in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, and there are other references to the deity of Christ straight up in the New Testament, but John 20:28 is a great one.
So far, we have all these clear ascriptions of even the title of God to Jesus. What more evidence is there? Well, Paul, he uses a difficult phrase, I find, in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 6. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." So you have another statement that Jesus is equal to God. And
right.
And if Jesus is equal to God, then...
Right. That whole section is about how he humbled himself becoming a man, but yet he never relinquished his deity.
No.
Sometimes we sing that song, "He emptied himself of all but love." That's not accurate.
Right, right.
He didn't empty himself of all but love. He did the temporary use of some of his divine attributes, but not his entire ministry, and certainly he didn't give up his deity.
That's right. And let me just end with one last verse, Colossians 2:9. It says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Well, if the fullness of deity dwelled in Jesus, that means he was fully God. Well, I hope this proves to you, in the last episode, I think we proved beyond a doubt that Jesus had all the attributes of humanity, and I think we have proved that the Bible says Jesus had all the attributes of deity as well.
Right.
Not only does he have the attributes of deity, he is explicitly called either Yahweh or God in the New Testament. So he is fully human and he's fully divine in one person. Isn't that an amazing truth? Now, what is the use of that truth? I think one of the uses is you can trust him to fulfill his promise to you that whoever believes in him has eternal life. He has the authority to do it. He has the power to do it. He has the prerogative to do it. If you will believe in him today, then you will be secure forever. And don't you want that kind of assurance?
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. I know that tests the limits of the human mind to try to understand, but I think we grow in the process. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've made it to another Friday. I hope your week was great. I hope your weekend is equally as wonderful. And we'll be back on Monday to discuss these interesting topics with you once again. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.